His Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the listener, and the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You're tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream, coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Team Radio Sai wishes you the warmest of Sankranti greetings this morning. May the universe bless you with an abundance of harmony and joy on this auspicious occasion. Earlier on, you were tuned live to the celestial Vedam and Bhajans as they were being sung in the Sai Kulwant Hall this morning. We are now back in the studios of Radio Sai. My name is Karuna and I'm honored to be your host for this segment of Thursday Live known as Morning Glory. Thank you so very much for staying with us on this sacred Thursday, January the 14th, 2016. The local time right now is 9:44 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and the current temperature in Prashanti Nilayam is a pleasant 23 degrees Celsius. We are experiencing overnight lows in the late teens and daytime highs at a comfortable 30 degrees Celsius range. Overall, Prashanti Nilayam continues to enjoy delightful weather conditions, bright sunshine, clear skies and crisp breeze. Nights tend to be just a tiny bit nippy by our standards. As always, our slice of heaven continues to be the place where the mind is calm, the senses relaxed and the heart, well, the heart is always at home here and ever overflowing with joy. Devotees find themselves smiling for no reason at all. What a happy problem to have. Here's what else is keeping us so happy and joyful in the abode of supreme peace. Dear brothers and sisters, we recently witnessed and experienced an outpouring of pure organic love and deep gratitude from the thousands and thousands of Sai students from the ages of 5 to 25, that is grade 1s to PhD scholars, who have surpassed all possible levels of excellence to reach a state of par excellence. As you know, on Monday, January the 11th, began this gala annual sports and cultural meet of the Sai educational institutions. Every campus of the Sai University, that is Anantapur, Vrindavan, Mudanhalli and Prashanti Nilayam was involved. So was the Sri Satya Sai College of Nursing and Allied Health Sciences Whitefield. What to speak of the incredible discipline and dedication and creativity of the young students of the Srimati Ishwaramba English Medium School, which is a day school in Prashanti Nilayam, and the Sri Satya Sai Primary School Prashanti Nilayam and the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School Prashanti Nilayam. Each group outdid their earlier benchmarks in terms of perfection, skill, creativity, discipline, devotion for their revered founder chancellor. Dear listeners, don't you just love the way these divine institutions are thriving and growing each and every single day? With each passing year, we see such leaps and bounds in their standards of excellence. One of the presentations by the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School, I remember very well, it concluded with a collage that said, "Wow and wow." The program really was very wow. It was slick in its flow and coordination without a break of a single minute between presentations. and the caliber and quality of the presentations by these students was simply mind-blowing. What I loved the most was the decorum and the reverence and the sincerity with which our children offered their love and poured their heartfelt gratitude to their divine and loving founder chancellor. A lot of people found that moment very, very moving. Whether it was the cute little fancy-dressed grade one offering the card or offering the salute by the march past or seeking Bhagwan's permission to take the sports day flame up the Hanuman hilltop, everything made the thousands who were present there realize how much Swami's students and teachers feel connected with him and how strong their love is for each other. And the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium was packed to capacity, and so was the ashram. Dear listeners, you've got to believe this, that since the time we began Swami's 90th birthday celebrations in the middle of November 2015, we are breathless from non-stop celebrations of life, its gifts, and the glory of our sweet Lord, His teachings, His legacies, every single day. The thing is, just when we were on a high from the sports meet of January the 11th, that is this past Monday, the students of Bhagwan Baba started offering their grand Broadway-style special programs in the mandir. So far, the dramas by the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School and the Brindavan campus of the Sai Universities have held us spellbound. What themes, what integration of Sai teachings, costumes, music, prop, makes you wonder, when do these children and their teachers achieve all this when they're also India's top schools in academic scores? How do they juggle so much? How do they prioritize? How do they manage their time? I guess the disciplined way of life has a lot to do with it. Of course, all their presentations were based on the human values, which are a part of their Sai Educare program, and their relevance in everyday life. Dear brothers and sisters, our ashram is currently hosting people from all parts of India and the world. Now, these include several thousand siblings, parents and grandparents of the Sai students, because there's a community of several thousand strong Sai student community thriving here. So their families are here, as are also the devotees from everywhere else who have come to witness this spiritual spectacle of the modern Gurukul system that thrives here under the direct guidance and blessings of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. This is a system he founded personally, one brick at a time. And then, our ashram is also home to an international community. And of course, there were a lot of people who were connected to everything that was happening in Prashanti through Radio Sai posts and updates. Everyone was riveted to the splendor of Sai education. Now, I have to share with you that we received a number of listener feedback, and many of our listeners felt that they really missed the live web streaming of the sports day from the Sri Satya Sai Hillview Stadium in Prashanti Nilayam on Monday morning and Monday afternoon, that is January 11th. I cannot let this moment pass without explaining to you why we were unable to provide live web streaming from the stadium on January 11th of this year. There were a number of serious technical challenges that we had to face. But most importantly, our web team was very keen on providing you with the finely edited version of the entire event with some special inputs from a highly sophisticated camera system. To achieve that, we need to record, then edit, and then post. A simple on-the-site mixer would not allow that. And then there was a problem of optic fiber cable issue. That's a different issue altogether. But because the web team was so keen to do something really special for you, it got delayed. So it could not be aired live. But, dear brothers and sisters, I'm delighted to inform you that as we speak, the Sports Day event video has already been posted on your favorite website, which is www.radiosai.org. And you're sure to be wowed by some astonishing capturing of the event with our latest equipment. Our camera crew was perched on every vantage point to capture the breathtaking formation and provide you with a panoramic view of the children's presentations. Hope you will find our web team's final offering at the lotus feet worth waiting for. Please also note that all cultural items being offered in the mandir are web streamed live daily and are also available on our homepage for you to catch up at your leisure. And don't forget to please log on to radiosai.org tonight and tomorrow to catch all the Sankranti action in the Cycle One Thal. As a matter of fact, when you enjoy this connection with your true home, that is Prashanthi Nilayam, via Radio Sai, all of us here at Team Radio Sai feel so extremely happy. In fact, we pinch ourselves at our good fortune to be a part of the divine mission. For could we ever in our lives do anything cooler, smarter or more fun than be His instruments and to belong to Him? Thank you, dearest God, for including us in your plans. Our lives are filled with your sweet bliss all the time, and we pray that you guide us to share the same inspiration with our listeners effectively. On that blissful note, let's start by sharing with you the first part of a three-part Fleeting Moments interview with Dr. B. Shivakumar, a Sai alumnus currently serving as an assistant professor in the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of the Sai University in its Department of Chemistry. Dr. B. Shivakumar is in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti of Radio Sai, and here is part one of this three-part interview. Have a listen, please, and stay with us throughout because I have a very important announcement to share with you. Based on your popular demand, based on listener feedback, we are restarting another series that was very much being missed, and I will tell you all about it after this interview. And I leave you with the clue. The clue is, the name of the program is SMN. Now, what does the acronym SMN stand for? If you know, feel free to email me right now. My email will be open. It is Karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A, at radiosai.org. So this program, the acronym of which is SMN, if you know what it stands for, email me now and I will share your name of all the correct answers in the next segment of today's Morning Glory. Right now, over to Dr. B. Shivakumar in conversation with Bishu Prushti. Have a listen, please.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. By Swami's grace, we have in the studio today Dr. B. Shivakumar, a faculty member in the Department of Chemistry in the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And Brother Shivakumar's story, let me tell you, is most moving. It is a story of how, right from the moment he stepped into the portals of Swami's college and touched those divine lotus feet, he only longed, prayed and pined for a permanent place at that lotus feet, and how Bhagwan granted him that, but not without its own tale of twists and trials, moments of deep anxiety and superlative ecstasy. Not only that, perhaps so intense was this desire in him to be at the Sai Sannidhi, to be near the Lord and to be dear to the Lord, that the compassionate Bhagwan not only allowed him to stay in Puttaparthi in his vicinity, but actually granted him that extremely exclusive and immensely rare privilege of being his personal servitor. There was nothing more that Brother Shivakumar could ask for. But the story does not end there. In fact, what happens after this is most significant and soul-stirring. While till this point he had held on to Swami, after this, perhaps as a fitting reward, the Lord held on to him. When he went through what can only be insufficiently described as a cataclysmic catastrophe of his life, the Lord at this moment virtually carried him on his arms. He shielded him, he protected him, and he recreated him so that Brother Shivakumar can continue to be at his Sannidhi and continue to serve him to his heart's satisfaction. For Shivakumar, it has been a totally resurrecting and deeply revelatory journey with Sai. There is plenty to learn, imbibe and get inspired by from his nearly 25 years of love story with the Lord. Mother Shivakumar joined the Vrindavan campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 1991 for his bachelor's in sciences, majoring in chemistry. He then went on to do his master's in chemistry in the Prashanthi Nilam campus, which he completed in 1996. After this, in 1997, Swami permitted him to pursue his PhD in the same university, and once he completed this in 2001, Bhagwan promptly allowed him to join as a faculty member in the Department of Chemistry in Prashanthi Nilam. An extremely talented percussionist, Brother Shivakumar is one of the senior members of the Prashanthi Mandir Bhajan group, playing the tabla in his divine physical presence for nearly 2 decades. And thanks to the tabla, this gift of rhythm that Bhagwan has bestowed on him has actually immensely helped him, I must say, to be in tune with the rhythm of the Lord, to actually watch every step of the Lord from as close as 1 or 2 feet of distance, sitting at the door of the bhajan hall and watching the divine play of the cosmic orchestrator and director every single day during the days when he played tabla at his lotus feet. All those moments have enabled Brother Shivakumar to grow and blossom at his lotus feet. And I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that we have him with us in our studios, who so willingly came forward to share those timeless moments with the avatar which has shaped and reshaped him over this quarter century. So with prayer to Bhagwan, we begin. Welcome, Brother Shivakumar, to Radio Sai and to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Thank you very much, Brother Vishu. Om Shri Sai Ram. I offer my humble pranams at Swami's lotus feet. It gives me great joy to relive those moments, because I think that is one way we can ensure that Swami is with us all the time.
Yes.
When we speak about him, when we think of those memories which we have spent with him, it is as if like it has happened just yesterday.
Yeah.
And you never know that we have, I mean, when you said that he's been here over 2 decades, it sounds really a long time. So yes, it's my pleasure to be here. And I hope I can relive those moments and make it a most memorable moment of my life too.
Wonderful. In fact, Brother Shivakumar, let me tell you this. We had the Sai Sanidhi Day on September 6, 2015. Today is September 26th. And that day is still very fresh in my mind. And actually that was the first time I heard you speak. You spoke only for 3 minutes. But in those 3 minutes, you had everyone in tears.
Yes, in fact, that was my very first, I can say, I wouldn't say call it as a speech, but yes, my very first time I ever stood in Sai Kulwant Hall and opened my mouth.
You had performed on so many occasions on the tabla, but I was performing with the mic.
yes, never I have opened my mouth, because I was, to be frank, I have my stage fears, but it is easy when I talk in front of a blackboard or a whiteboard, but not so much in front of an audience. But yes, those 3 minutes, I could never imagine that Swami would give me that opportunity, particularly on this grand celebrations of Swami's 90th birthday. I could feel his presence, and that's how, without even my knowledge, I broke down. I mean, it was purely Swami's grace. I could connect with him. Right.
Absolutely.
There.
In fact, that is what so many people said after the program was over, that they were able to feel Bhagwan's presence.
Right.
And I think, yes, like always, he was working through us.
Totally.
And even as I was listening to you that day, I felt that what you narrated that day for 3 minutes was just a compact version, absolutely abridged.
Absolutely.
Abridged version of the precious moments that Bhagwan has bestowed on you. And
yes.
I felt that, you know, this has to be now dealt with in detail, we need an unabridged version of what Bhagwan means to you and how he has touched you. Because I'm sure, just like it did that day in Sai Kulwant Hall, when more people listen to this, it will touch and transform so many. And we don't know how, in different ways, it will do it. And I remember that night itself messaging you and asking if you were willing to share, and when and you so readily
agreed. Very much, yes.
So, really, today we are going to take that story and let it unfold, how it unfolded in your life, stage by stage, with all its dates and details, its turns and bends, so that we get the complete picture of how Bhagwan actually chisels us. How to instill those lessons of life which will always remain our eternal spring of joy, to what pains he goes, so that, you know, we always are in his sannidhi. So, brother, let's begin from where it all began in your love story with Bhagwan. So tell us, when did you become a student of his university, and how did that happen?
Yes, I think, as you mentioned, 1991 was when I applied for this university. I remember my father getting me an application form, actually, for the 11th standard here. But I wasn't even interested in considering that, because I was very attached to, I was the last son in the family, so I was attached to my parents, and I used to have this regular headache, you know, call it migraine and stuff. So it's like so regular, like every Monday I used to have this headache whenever I go to the school.
Was it related to the school?
No, well, I never really thought it in that fashion, but it used to develop during the whole day, and we used to have Monday bhajans at home, every Monday bhajans at home. So by the end of bhajans, I end up actually going to the, you know, this thing, and then puke out whatever I had the whole day. So it used to be a very painful experience, but my father was there all the time to make sure that I dealt with it, and next morning I'm all fine, going back to school. Didn't take a break. So my fear was, what would I do being in a hostel? So I just told my father, no, I'm not going to the hostel.
You wondered how you will manage yourself.
Yeah, how do I even stay without my father in a hostel, that too in, you know, Andhra Pradesh and all of that. So never really took any importance in addressing that application. And then it was college time, and when my brother actually also had applied, and he got selected, and he joined for the summer course in 1990. And after 10 days, he got very good marks in his, public exam, 12th exam. And then my parents felt that, my sister was an engineer, my father is an engineer, so they thought, okay, he also should join engineering. And promptly we took him out, and he joined the government college, REC, in Trichy. But so the next year when I joined, I was also in the same route. I was also going for some coaching classes for engineering, thinking that I'll apply for engineer. I finished my 12th exams, and then I came here to Parthi for the entrance. I never really had any certificates, and I just came casually with the admit card. That was all there with me and my father.
You had sort of thought of applying and writing the
exams. Yes. By that time I was, okay, this is something that Swami had given an opportunity, but we couldn't, go for it. My father was a little worried whether you will again get ever a chance, because we have taken off.
Your brother could have studied,
and at least what is it like, he wanted to know. He told me later that, he never thought I'll be selected. So when he said that, let us apply and see, I was okay. I was fine with that. Even though I was attached and I wanted to be at home, I said, okay, let me just.
So there was this feeling in the family that one of the members
exactly
had got an opportunity,
right?
and we
have not taken it. So whether will they give another opportunity? So I said, okay, I will apply. Let's see how it goes. But as it happened, I got selected, and I came down to Vrindavan for the summer course. 12 days of summer course was there, and it really shook me that every day, invariably, wherever Swami was, I used to go somehow reach his feet. It was not as if Swami gave a Pada Namaskaram, but whether it was in the lines, or it was in the auditorium, or when Swami used to come to, the hostel for attending the food sessions, somewhere at least once in a day I used to touch his feet. Now that was, you know, it had such a lasting memory that I felt there is this kind of chance you don't get as a devotee, you know, sitting far in the crowd, because we've been visiting Puttaparthi, and Swami has been in Chennai also. So I was in Chennai at that time. So I have seen Swami, but never ever got close enough to even, you know, look at him close. Forget about touching his feet during darshan time.
You grew up in a very devoted family that way.
Yes, yes, that way, yes. My parents, I should say I was lucky that maybe from the time I had my sense of knowledge, Swami's photo was already there in the altar. Mm-hmm. And my father, through a friend of his, was introduced to Swami. And then we were doing bhajans, like I was mentioning, right? So it was always there. So to me, to see Swami along with other gods, so to say, was natural. Mm-hmm. So that was easy to have my faith in Swami. But the fact that that Swami whom we visited maybe in 88 or something for the first time, I could only see from far. But the fact...
Maybe make an annual trip to Parthi.
Annual trip, yes, exactly. Once or twice before 91 we have been here. Maybe I remember, I think, going to the planetarium or something just for another, you know, outing. But those 10 days, the fact that I could touch Swami's feet, I could actually touch him in that real physical form whom I've always seen in the photograph, you know, that changed me. And I felt I will not leave this opportunity.
But the conviction that Swami is divine was already there.
Yes.
The time we joined.
To what I can say, at that age, you wouldn't really understand what divinity is. But to the fact that, yes, my parents were devoted to Swami, and we were used to coming here. So for me, it was an opportunity with the divine, you know, yes, to be going so close to him. And I also felt at that point of time that this is a chance that I cannot miss after having known that, you know, we have already removed my brother. So yes, it was something that I wanted it. I knew that, okay, if I can be with Swami, my only aim was to go as close as possible.
Yes.
How close can we approach? Can we go to Swami? You know, the physical form. Mm. Apart from praying to him. Like I said, yes, we were doing bhajans, and every Monday, we used to actually see Swami's presence by flower rotating during the bhajans. You know, there's a special kind of flower which my father actually makes. Mm-hmm. And we put around the garland around the photograph. And when we do bhajans, it used to rotate. The half of the flower is to rotate. Mm-hmm. So that's like the usual, you know, everybody has some sign of
yes,
his presence. So yes, devotion and faith in Swami as God was there.
Yeah. I think that is the reason why, you know, for you, touching his feet was such a precious chance. Because
precisely,
you already knew that he is somebody
that is what was, you know, very precious for me, because I could not, till that moment, I could never imagine that I can actually go that close to someone who you actually pray as God.
God, in the photographs.
In the photographs, to be there right in his presence and touch his feet every day. No, I wouldn't want to lose that chance for anything. So that's when I told my parents, whatever may be my marks, I would want to stay here. Though I didn't get really such, you know, excellent marks like my brother, still I could have if I wanted, maybe, you know, join the engineering or anything. But I just told them that I will continue staying here. So just with the, you know, not even, I would say, when I entered the interview, I still remember there were some of my other students who were there who also had been selected for the interview. Our interview used to happen in the conference hall in the university block.
Okay. Administrative block. Okay.
Not in the college. So where Swami used to, I believe, sit and conduct those, you know, general body meetings. So mm-hmm. that is where we were all seated. And the person next to me was having a big file of all certificates. And I asked him, what are those certificates? He said that this is my Balvika certificate. This is my, you know, this certificate. And I never joined Balavikas or anything, but I just had my admit card, and that's about it. So I thought it's never going to happen, you know. And well, as I said, you know, it's purely Swami's grace. There is nothing that I did to join, you know, and I joined. And that's how it started.
And he hooked you to his feet.
Yes. And I know whenever I used to write a letter also, I used to, you know, sign saying always at your lotus feet. I never realized that, you know, that really kept me there.
Yes.
And it was that attraction that, you know, which kept me going. And yes, after summer course I joined, my friends in Chennai actually were surprised, or they even thought, what happened to me? Because I came in for 6 months, I was here. You know, I just came to write entrance, selected, stayed back, 6 months was gone. And that journey, I never even felt the need for being with my parents.
Oh, what happened to your migraines?
Yes, exactly. No, that's the most surprising part, because I never thought I could live in a hostel surrounding. And here, when I joined, after the summer course, when they allotted the room, and it was a, you know, room of 13 brothers staying along with me, and I wasn't sure how it's, you know, how am I going to move around with people who are strange to me, and I was not even conversant with the language and everything, you know. But it so happens that within a few days, you suddenly see all of the other brothers, like I said, brothers, you know, they actually call you by addressing you as a brother, which is very strange for someone who comes from, you know, a background of in metro cities and all of that. You don't call somebody a brother. So they started calling me as a brother, and then I see that there's a wing teacher who stays right next to your room, and he inquires almost every day about everything about your life and welfare in the hostel. And I remember the first time I ever got those headaches back, I was so shocked that, you know, they were taking care of me much more than even what my father would have done for me.
Oh.
Right from, you know, holding me all the way to the bathroom, or getting me food, or pressing my head, everything possible. So to me, that 6 months went as if like I was with my own family. And wow. I knew that this is not possible elsewhere. This is not like a hostel, which you generally think of a hostel in the outside universities or, you know, colleges. So that changed everything. So, and I stayed on to make sure that what is it that I could do,
yes,
to somehow go physically close to Swami.
So that was the only focus.
That was the focus. And I know, like when you said, like, you know, he's been playing the tabla for the last 2 decades. Believe me, in the first instance, I realized that, okay, music group is one group which sits right in the front, you know, and that is where my focus. And to me, I felt, okay, we were doing bhajans at home. So I used to play the kanchara at home, or thalam. So I thought, okay, that is all is enough. You know, you can just play on kanchara, or maybe I used to even sing at home, okay, because, you know, it's only a close circle
family
of
bhajan.
Family and maybe few, you know, friends who used to come. So I felt it's not a big deal. You can just go and join the bhajan group and start singing. I still very clearly remember that when I went and asked for a chance, they kind of told me, yeah, you can. So in the hostel, I did sing a bhajan.
Oh, wow.
in the mic. And very promptly, my classmates told me later on, please spare us. You know, let's not take it too far. Why don't you try your hand on something else? So that was like a direct message. There was nothing to hide there, my own friends. So I said, okay, maybe then I better go to something in the background. So I remember asking Ravi Kumar sir, can he teach me? Because he used to play the kanchara, you know, yes, Department of Chemistry. So I asked him for that, and then he gave me a few lessons. But I wasn't satisfied. I mean, not exactly. This is not what I want. And then I saw the tabla for the first time in Vrindavan, because I mean, way back at home, there was no tabla, and I have not attended any samiti bhajans as such, so I wasn't aware of what this instrument is all about. So I saw them playing in bhajans in the hostel. So I approached one of my classmates, and they also helped me out on that. And then I settled with it, because when I put my hand on it, I realized, okay, this is something that I need to learn. And I knew the kind of chances those tabla boys used to get, so to say, the tabla boys. And I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to be investing all my time on this. Fortunately for me, I don't know, I'm sure again it is Swami's grace, that during those days, no one ever asked me whether I played games or anything, because if today I tell you the things are so regulated that, you know, you have to go to the grounds and play and even mark your attendance. But those entire 3 years in Vrindavan, after the college hours, till bhajans in the evening at around like, that's almost like 2 hours, I used to be with the music, in the music room, practicing tabla. Nobody ever asked me, go to the ground. Nobody ever told me, you should not be sitting here. I just sat and learnt.
He allowed it to happen.
And I just picked up, and my friends are really encouraging, and one of my seniors, I should say he was my first guru, Sridhar, he helped me learn the basics and everything, and slowly, of course, a lot of other people who joined, everybody guided me, and it was a journey that I realized that it was made for me.
Wow. So the motivation was not tabla, motivation was not music, the motivation was just through the medium of tabla I can be at his feet.
Exactly. How to reach close? What are the avenues? I mean, you know, you can make out, you know, who gets the attention.
And actually that is an added, and that this incentive is far, far, far greater than, you know, the joy of music or anything like that.
Any day. Just to get to his, you know, physical presence, whether his eyes fall on you. You know, that's the transformation I felt, you know, from where you were to see Swami, when you are, eyes fall on him, where you start pining that his eyes should fall on you.
Yes.
You know, that's the kind of journey that we all go through, I felt, you know, with Swami being a student. That inspired me. So I learned, and
wonderful. So that's how the Vrindavan days went.
Yes.
Trying to see how you can be close to Bhagavan.
Exactly. Exactly.
Figure out the various means and methodologies and explore the avenues.
Totally.
And then finally, so by the time you finish Vrindavan, you are settled down with tabla.
Yes, I was almost ready. And in fact, I remember it was a tri session in the evening when Swami was asking the warden, how is this boy in studies? And he was picking up a few brothers in the front. And I was at least maybe the 10th or 12th line, a little far from the jula where Swami was sitting. And I was casually looking at the whole thing which is going on, and I had a chit in my hand again asking for Swami to give permission to play the tabla in the mandir.
So by the time you were in the third year, you were confident.
I was confident, and I wanted to take the permission because that's how it happens. Swami gives physically
Swami
the permission.
Swami has
to directly give. When I, of course, approached my music teacher, and he was telling you take Swami's permission, then if Swami gives permission, maybe you can join and play for the bhajans in the mandir. Because by then I had few practice sessions in the hostel. You get to play in the hostel, in the mics and all of that. So then the next step is to ask Swami. So I had written a note asking Swami, please give me permission for playing in the mandir. So, and that day Swami was asking about studies. And I happened to keep this note. So Swami looked around, and then suddenly he looks at me, and then he said, how is this boy?
He asked the warden.
Warden. And I was facing Swami, and warden was behind me. He was standing and talking to Swami. And then Swami told me, he signed me, look at the warden. So I turned back, and then the warden saw me, and he said, Swami, Shivakumar Swami, he's a good boy. He's got A grade in the exams. Now, for Swami, it's only O grade.
Yes.
You know, there is nothing below O grade.
Yes.
Whether it's A, which is 60, or, you know, B, nothing. It's O grade. So, he said, A grade, Swami. And Swami looks at me, and then he smiled, and he kind of summed up my entire, the nature of my approach towards maybe studies or anything. You know, he just said, manchi clever boy. Kani hard work ledu.
Oh my God.
So it was bang on. I mean, I knew that is exactly what I was doing, because my hard work was on tabla. I was trying to somehow get close. You know, studies was...
So he's a clever boy, but he's not hardworking when it comes to academics.
Academics, because he was talking about academics. And, well, he said that, and then I had this chit in my hand, and he asked for it. So I knew it may have not been the best of my timings, but still I gave the chit to Swami, and Swami looked at it. He read through the whole thing, and he said, first studies, tarvata tabla. So it was a clear instruction that I better focus on my studies, because
first studies, then tabla.
So I knew it was all the more, though I was disappointed at that point of time that I didn't get a chance, to start playing when I was in my third year. But maybe I realized that, more importantly, I have to go to the PG. I have to study, be a student first, than to become a tabla player and not even be a student.
He was actually ensuring how you can be close to him.
Yes, you know, though they said that it's an integrated course, there was a minimum cutoff value, GPA and all of that to actually come to MSc, right?
Yes.
So I knew then and there that, okay, now let me just make sure that I get the minimum requirement to come up
it,
to,
it was so timely, isn't it?
It was so timely because it was a final year, and it was purely chemistry going on. So I need to do some effort there. And he put it in very simple, plain words that, you know, you can be clever enough to try to come near me, but you better focus on the fundamentals.
Mm.
And yes, I did pass out, and I got my invitation, the letter for joining the post-graduation. And we all assembled back for the summer course. And before we come to Puttaparthi, all the Puttaparthi staff and students, they kind of assemble in front of Thrai to take the namaskar before coming to Parthi. So I think I got my opportunity then. So mm-hmm. I felt, okay, now that I have finished my BSc and I'm going to postgraduate.
So you worked hard and now got into embassy.
So at that point of time when Swami was giving the Pada Namaskar, I got up and asked Swami again, Swami, can I play the tabla in front of you in the mandir? And he said, ha, manchidi.
Very good.
So there I got my permission. But of course, we had to leave immediately and come to Parthi. And I waited for Swami to come to Parthi. And my first bhajan was the welcome song for Swami when he came.
You started off from day one.
Yes, with the welcome song when he came.
Wonderful.
So that's how it started.
And that was a welcome
yes.
of many things that happened.
Very true. Very true.
In Prashanthi Nilayam.
I can tell you, because what stayed on with me was this tabla. You know, this tabla and the chances I got through that.
Yes.
The being in the music group. Because I remember even in the MSc days when everybody asks for a class interview, all of us were seated in the first row, because that particular class comes and asks for praise for Swami to give an interview. And Swami walked across almost all the boys and he was asking each one, Nikenti, what is your this thing? And everybody was kind of in unison telling Swami, please guide us what to do in future. We were in the final year masters. So when he came in front of me again, he asked Nikenti, and I said, Swami, please guide me. Nik tabla ne guidance ra.
Oh.
Just imagine, yes.
For you, tabla is the
guidance. And that was it. Again, it just proved, for me, it was a proof that, yes, this is something that I always wanted it, to be there with him, close to him. And I know that this is the best way I could be with him. Because I knew that I wasn't the academics type where I could, you know, score a 100 out of 100 and then go for a gold medal with Swami. But I know for sure that if I stick on to being in the bhajan group, I can be as close as possible in the physical frame. So when he said, Niku tabla ne guidance, it was clear.
Fantastic. And when you look at it, the tabla has actually guided your life.
Totally. Totally. Like I said, everything was around that.
Around that.
And Swami used to address me as tabla boy. no MSc, no Shivakumar, no nothing else, you know. It is tabla boy, and I used to just write that exactly in even my letters. So, yes, that was my guidance.
So all the MSc days and the beautiful moments you had during the post-graduation days were again being part of the music group.
Part of the music group, yes. The number of times we used to have music programs, I still have those pictures of the other day I was seeing. The number of Pada Namaskars which we used to take after every program,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's all about that Pada Namaskar again.
Yes,
you know,
the program is all about that Pada Namaskar.
It's Namaskar. You don't really worry about what you did, what you played, how many songs, nothing. But at the end, if Swami calls you for Namaskar, then you know that it's been good.
Yes.
Because there were times, I'm telling you that because there were times when we used to feel that we did a very good program and Swami used to just go away.
Mm.
And, you know, you wonder what happened, what went wrong. And then you start thinking, okay, maybe this is where we went wrong. You know, you do your own self-analysis, introspection and everything. But there were days when we felt that, you know, it was not up to our mark when Swami called and gave Namaskar. So that is when, you know, growth comes to you that it is not about performing. It is not about a musical performance. It was about devotion. It was about how you feel when you play or when you sing. And how you relate to Swami and how you can make others, you know, sink in with that feeling. So that was very, very obvious, you know. Never that we sit there and think that if we are professionals playing an instrument or anything like that. You know that you're doing it for Swami and all you want is Swami to be happy with you. And, well, all those namaskars still there, fresh.
And I think every namaskar taught us a lesson.
Yes, very much, very much. Something that which you'd never want to lose for anything.
Yes. And I think Every time, in fact, you did a program for Swami, and when you reflected on that, you got this perspective of, just like Bhagwan says, when it comes to food, you have this Patra Suddhi, Padartha Suddhi,
yes,
and all the four or five kinds of purity.
Exactly.
And that only the Lord can see.
Very true. You know,
something,
very, very true.
A program will have so many facets to it.
Very true.
Seen and unseen.
Exactly.
And he's the one who's looking for the entire package.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, as you said, we can't see that. We can't make out. You know, but then he helps us.
Yes.
You know, maybe in the first time you are not sensitive to it,
yes,
but certainly over a period of time, he'll sensitize you. That's if you are open to that, and if you can see Swami and learn from it, certainly you will get to know that this is the way to go about.
Fantastic. So the post-graduation days with the tabla went on, and so how did it happen that you got permission from Bhagwan to do your PhD? I'm sure that was again
yes,
only because
yes,
you wanted to stay back.
Yes, yes.
Is that true?
It was all the more true because I remember that immediately after my post-graduation, we all again went for summer course there in Vrindavan, and before the summer course started, we were in the hostel, and just before when the new boys have joined, the warden actually had told that, you know, all the old students have to vacate the hostel, and because the new students are going to come in for the summer course. Generally, Swami used to permit at least the immediate passed out batches. You know,
yes,
if you pass out at 96, you are allowed for the 97 summer course. So, but
before the academic,
academic year begins. So, but that year somehow there was a doubt whether everybody will be allowed because I think they didn't have enough place in the hostel. So I was quite worried that, okay, what would we do? I mean, these 10, 15 days when Swami is going to come every day, you know, giving the attention for the, you know, in the summer course, we'll be missing it. So, but that afternoon, it was very surprising that the Prashant Nilayam warden actually had sent word for me and my classmate, Sanjay Singh, and said that he asked us to meet him. And I wasn't sure for what happened. So I went there, and then he told me, Sanjay Singh was not available at that time. I think he had gone out to the grounds or something. So I went and met him, and he said, see, you and Sanjay Singh, you join the present students to Vrindavan, Thrive Vrindavan, inside the compound wall, and collect your passes for summer course.
Oh, so you are part of that group who can collect,
yes,
officially
the pass.
Summer course.
Because
right,
Swami used to distribute the previous evening.
Yes.
Tomorrow is summer course. The previous evening he used to distribute that. And I was very surprised, and I asked, sir, what exactly happened? Because there were so many other boys also from my class and who were there. Then he said, see, basically we all went and then showed Swami some of these, you know, ID cards which we used to have. And Swami was going through the ID cards, and he removed mine and kept it aside. And after a few more of ID cards, he removed even Sanjay Singh's and kept it aside. And then he went through the rest of the cards, and then finally he told the warden that these two boys are good, you give them the summer ID cards for summer course.
Wow.
Now, I couldn't really believe that it actually happened, because this is where, you know, from a region where you know Swami is God, and also you have this, you know, fear in you that does he know physically, you know, the physical frame, that is something that you are always in that, you know, delusion that whether he will recognize you in your face.
Well, you were playing tabla and all that, but were there any times in your MSc days when Bhagwan really had those interactions with you, personal interactions?
Frankly speaking, not many. He used to see me.
You were just part of the group.
Because those days, I have to be, to tell you the reality, there were so many music boys, you know, seniors who were there, and I used to get maybe once in a month or once, twice in a month to play.
Once in a month?
Yes, because there were so many others who were there, been playing for a long time. So, since we were the junior most in the group, I used to get my chances whenever I used to get, and we used to sit in the bhajan hall, but quite far.
Quite far.
Not as if, like, you know, you are right in the front.
So, you never really had an opportunity to know physically Swami recognizes me.
Exactly,
or not.
You know, so whether Swami looks at me or whether he has seen me playing the tabla, though, yes, of course, we all know. In another plane, he knows it, but still that attachment was there. Whether Swami should look at you playing tabla and he should talk to you about it. But yes, when you get Padanamaskar, that's when you feel happy about going closest to Swami. But otherwise, there was no direct interaction. He never instructed me to do anything or even continue or stay back, nothing. But just that fact that I wanted to stay back, to go more closer, was driving me.
Mm.
And at that point of time, when the warden told me that this is what Swami did, I couldn't believe. And I said, okay, now this is an opportunity he's giving me once again. Maybe this is the sign for me to hang on.
Yes.
Whatever happens. But of course, the beauty of it was not as if we were special or anything. You know, we went along with the boys inside and took our cards. You know, the boys distributed the cards. And the rest of the classmates who were there also got their cards. You know, okay. Ultimately, Swami actually, he saw from the tri-compound wall, there were the other boys were waiting just outside the gate.
Okay.
And Swami asked, who are those boys? And the warden said, Swami, all students who just finished. He said, what could I say?
Oh, give them more.
So they all got their IDs, you know, but, you know, that, you know, selecting it yes. out of a pile of cards.
Hmm. In some way, Swami acknowledging.
Yes, that, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe I needed it. Maybe I wanted that push.
That he knows you.
You know, that really.
He's earmarked you.
I was so happy that, you know, he did that. And,
yes.
But as we all know, he knows exactly how to, you know,
what to do so that we feel comfortable.
Exactly, dude. You know, to give that little nudge and a push, you know, just a pat on the shoulder and then you're
it's
happy.
It's not as if next day he called you and spoke
nothing,
to you.
Nothing, nothing. And after that, frankly speaking, after that, once we came back to Parthi, for about 8-9 months, there were absolutely...
8-9 months?
8-9 months I waited, not a word Swami spoke. I used to enjoy playing tabla, of course, in the mandir. That too with a great difficulty because we had some restrictions
days. But did you have in your mind some expectation now that Swami has actually singled out and
yes,
kept your
yes,
ID card separately?
You feel special, whether others feel special or not, whether Swami feels you are special. You know that you've been selected, so there you are.
So you'll be expecting something at the physical plane.
Very much, very much. But it was, and like Swami always says, if you have expectations, then you will have disappointments. And I was very much disappointed the entire June, July, August, September, nothing.
So the whole thing was just faded away in your mind.
But yes, you know how it all happens
yes.
and the prayer keeps
yes.
becoming more and more strong.
Strong.
The more he avoids you increase your intensity of prayers
yes.
and I wanted to be somehow doing something and be here. That was all my intention and I should really be grateful for my parents because they never really told me that you should come out and work or you know nothing, no expectations from their side. So it was all the more easy for me to just hang on, just be with Swami, the golden waiting period they call it, right?
Yeah.
So I was waiting and for Swami to tell me something as to what to do. And it was at that time that close to 9 months had passed. So
you were playing tabla in the morning?
Yeah, I used to play for the morning bhajans. Again, there were a couple of us, 2-3 of us, take turns and play. But evening bhajans, of course, only the present students were allowed. And I was doing this and I went and asked the registrar as to what are the options. Because I felt, though I stayed back here, the options were very limited. You either may get a job in any of these institutions which Swami has or you can do research. And for some reason I felt I could actually ask for research. Though I myself personally knew I'm not a scientist or a passionate academician that I can really do something as big as research. But to me what was more attractive was the fact that, okay, if you do research, you may stay longer.
Oh.
Because, you know, you have heard all your, you know, seniors telling, and I'm sure all of us have heard Ravi Kumar's stories.
Yes.
I think he did for quite some time, you know.
Yeah.
So I was very, very curious because, I mean, I was in the department of chemistry.
As a student, you can be for 2 years or 3 years.
Yes, you know, maximum.
Maximum. After that, you write an entrance.
Entrance again, and your waiting period again comes back to square one. But here I was thinking, maybe research is a good bargain.
At least 4-5 years.
It's taken care,
taken
you know.
Care.
So that was my understanding of research. It was nothing to do with, you know, doing some breakthrough results. But yes, so I just hung up because, I mean, it's all the more evident in my case because when I actually stayed back, I remember our warden, our ex-warden, he actually asked me, you want to stay back? He had this big question mark in his face. I mean, why you want to stay back? And I was just, I mean, I just knew I just have to hold on. And I was there and Then, you know, I asked the registrar, because it was getting like close to the next academic year. So I was a little bit concerned, okay, what would happen, you know. So then I asked him, sir, what are the chances? And it so happened that, you know, more than 5-6 years, Swami had actually stopped giving research in the university. Mm-hmm. Because here it is, it's more like a selection which is based purely from Swami's side. Mm-hmm. There is no entrance or anything those days. So he told me that Swami was not giving research to any student. So it is better you don't waste your time here. Maybe you consider leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was very disappointing, and I was like, okay, then that only means that, you know, there is, I will not be getting any help from the administration for this. So then I thought, okay, then maybe I can apply for MBA.
Well, the only option left.
Because if you miss as a student, you can at least, you know, take care of another 2 years. So I felt, okay, I've already wasted maybe 9 months wasted from the point of view of other people. So I thought, okay, let me apply for MBA. So I took an application form. And I obviously wanted to get it blessed from Swami before I filled. So it was in Jan. I still remember the date. I think it was Jan 18th of Jan. I sat in the bhajan hall in the evening with the application form. Swami came for darshan, and then he looked at me and he asked, "Entiyadi?"
What is it?
It was a big cover. So he, what's it? I said, "Swami, MBA application form." And Swami said, "Pettuko." Now, this word pettuko has a lot of meanings in Telugu. So I was trying to figure out from my friends who were around and seniors as to what exactly, I mean, am I supposed to now apply, or
pettuko means actually keep it.
I keep it, you know.
But it can mean so many things.
It can mean so many things. Pettuko also, then later on somebody told me apply. Okay. It also means keep it aside. So what to do? I mean, either to keep it aside or to apply. So the best is obviously to go back to Swami, right? So I thought, okay, let me fill the form and I will take Swami's permission so that I can go to Madras and get my father's signature on the form. In a way, I'll be able to tell Swami. The next morning, promptly, I sat there with the letter. Swami comes for the morning darshan, and I was near the bhajan hall door because I was playing. I was ready to play for the bhajans. And Swami came, and I gave the letter to Swami saying, "Swami, I would like to go to Madras and get my, you know, forms signed from my father. From my father." And Swami said, "Yeah, manchidi. Good, you take namaskar." So I took Swami's Pada Namaskaram. And when I was just coming back up, and Swami looked at me and said, asked me in Telugu, "What have you done till now?" And I said, "Swami, MSc Chemistry." And then Swami said, "Then you're applying for MBA. Now, I was in a fix because he said, then I didn't know how to respond to that. And Swami went on to say, "MBA lo costing undi, accounting undi. Whereas in chemistry, you know, rasayanam anta meeru chemicals tho untaru, you are in the lab all the time in chemicals, you know, and what is the connection?"
Costing and accounting.
Accounting. And I mean, obviously, I never bothered to see what was there as a part of MBA. All I did was only buy an application form, and here Swami was trying to tell me what actually MBA means. I mean, do I even know? Because I've been doing chemistry, lab work, and then I suddenly trying to jump to MBA course. And this really was, it created a big doubt in me, and then I was wondering, okay, now if this opportunity is lost, then what do I do?
Mm.
And I was quickly trying to grab the situation, and then I said, I again requested, prayed to Swami, and I told him, "Swami, can I do research?" And Swami immediately smiled and he said, "Ha, research chesko."
Oh, wow.
I was so thrilled, and he said, "Do research." I was like, is it true? I mean, he told me to do research. So where do I go and tell this? Whom do I approach? He just told, "Do research." And then he told me, "Registrar to matladu. Go and speak to the registrar." Now, two clear instructions was given to me, but then followed the most beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. He said that, and then he was looking at the VIP portico. There was one renowned VIP who was sitting there, and Swami looked at him and he said, "Chusara, pillalu, MBA, research, edaina chestaru, Swami tho undadaniki. Avanni oka eyewash."
Oh, wow.
So he said, basically meaning that, you know, boys, they basically want to stay with me, and for that they will do anything, whether it is MBA or it is research, even though there is no connection.
No connection.
They are ready to do anything. Now, that was the moment I realized, what else do you need? I mean, if Swami actually has said that, That was all I wanted.
And there was a summary of
entire my stay here.
Stay.
You know,
yes.
It never mattered whether I did research or I did anything, but I want to be with you. And he reflected that thought and prayer right there, and he even voiced it out to a VIP. So that's when I knew that I cannot lose this opportunity, and I will be there with him as long as he keeps me there.
I think, you know, I mean, it's so clearly how he reflects us. You know, he just reflected your intention. He reflected your heart.
Exactly. I mean, that was so thrilling. I mean, like you said, it's something like, you know, we feel that, okay, we made some efforts. We may be applying for this, or we may put in some effort to get into research. But no, my intention was very clear. And for him to actually voice that out.
Yes.
That was it. That was a moment of my life.
And I think this is one moment where you know for sure that he knows everything about you.
Everything.
More than you know you.
More than,
you
exactly.
About yourself.
Really, I mean, if Swami, for example, I mean, if he had not told, you know, about accounting or costing, you know, it could have been just another day when I would have just maybe continued to apply for MBA.
And it's not as if people who have done MSc Chemistry have not done it.
Not done, exactly. In fact, to tell you the truth, my classmate was right there sitting, who was pursuing his MBA after he finished his MSc Chemistry with me.
And he was guided by Swami.
Very much.
So, it was all...
To tell you the name, it was Brother Satyajit.
Oh, wow.
So, I was all the more the reason wondering what went wrong here. But yes, in my heart, I knew I wanted this because I want to be with Swami. So it was very clear. So,
and he charts that way for all of us. You know,
absolutely.
You want to be with Swami, how to do it? You have to leave it to him.
Leave it to him. That's
for him,
the point.
For Brother Satyajit, it was after MSc Chemistry, MBA.
MBA. And
for
yes.
Research.
Yes. Everybody's path is different, but he will chart it.
Yes.
You know, once you leave it to him, he absolutely takes care of it. There is no doubt about that.
Fantastic. So was it smooth after that? You spoke to the registrar?
Well, like, yeah, I mean, I could say... not all that smooth, because there was time that Swami told me this, and then I was concerned because if I go and tell, how do the administration take this up? So I went and approached and told him, and then he said, okay, he will inform the vice chancellor.
Because
then,
as you said, I mean,
yeah,
last 5-6 years,
he has not given.
Not
so the registrar himself knew that it was not an easy task to actually put it across. So yeah, he told me that he will talk to the vice chancellor. So it was in the month of Jan. And obviously, I did not go to Chennai. I threw aside the MBA form and I was happy back to playing tabla in the mandir and just waiting there. And then days quickly passed, and it was almost towards the end of February when I realized that nothing really has moved. And it started, you know, I started getting this worry whether, you know, they will actually consider me, because I wasn't sure whether I was eligible from the point of view of, you know, academically. Though, yes, I mean, there was no... as such big, you know, passing criteria. There are minimum marks which I had. But I was concerned, and again, once again, in the bhajan hall, I took the courage of asking Swami, I think I asked him, Swami, what about my research? And wanting to know, because, I mean, he is the ultimate. I mean, he was the...
Well, he's told to go and speak to the registrar. That's
yes.
All you can do.
And precisely, that's what he told me. He asked me, did you speak to the registrar? I said, yes, Swami. Then why are you worried? And he walked away. And well, yes, well, I should not be worried, because I did what Swami said, and I'm sure that he will take care. But you know, that anxiety is always
yes.
there.
Yeah, a lot of things have to happen in the administration.
Happen, you know, it is not just like walking into the class and start doing research. So I was a bit concerned. So that February went past that way, and I think it was somewhere in the first week of March when the vice chancellor finally decided to ask Swami whether,
okay.
Because according to him, he may have not really, you know, felt the how to approach and put forth this problem. So he went and told us, Swami, I think, that in the interview room about me. And Swami said, yes, Nene Cheppano, take him for research.
I only told him,
so you can take him for research.
Wow.
And yes, so in fact, one more small twist which happened was, this was told to Swami, and then, I mean, Swami told this to the Vice Chancellor, and then I was called for an interview at the administration block. And after the interview was over, I think it was all finalized, and I was to get my letter from the administrative block. And I went to the block to get my appointment letter as research scholar. It was then I saw my professor from the Department of Chemistry. he was sitting with the registrar. And he was there all the time in the morning session that I came back for lunch and I went back after lunch. So at that point of time, registrar looked at me and he showed me a letter of resignation from my professor. Now, he decided to leave exactly on that same day when my letter was typed.
Oh.
And the reason I'm saying this is because they said to do research, you need to have a professor in the department.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the qualification to be a guide for a student.
Yes.
So now there was only one professor in the department at that point of time. And if he's resigning, which means that there is nobody to guide.
Oh my God.
So,
research.
Yeah, and my letter was on the other side where it is typed that, you know, you've been appointed as a research scholar in the Department of Chemistry under so and so. And here, registrar was showing me this letter of resignation from the professor.
Same professor.
Same professor. And I immediately asked him, sir, so what does this mean? He actually smilingly said, back to square one.
Oh my God. He said that.
I was like, what do you mean, sir, back to square one? He said, see, administrative-wise, we need to have a professor to take a research scholar. How do you otherwise do research? How do you do PhD without a professor guiding? But then Swami told, he said, yeah, but we will see. We don't know. We will pray. You pray. And that's it. It was back to prayers. And everybody here down, when I walked down from the administrative block, everybody is congratulating me. And I couldn't tell exactly what really happened because it was as if like I joined and my professor left. So I didn't want to give that impression. I kind of, you know, accepted everybody's greetings and, you know, smiled and kept quiet about it. And obviously praying really hard. And this other boy, Sanjay Singh, whom again Swami had also informed him. See, this is the beauty of that connection, you know, when he took those two ID cards and kept aside.
Yes.
It was again the same brother and me whom Swami had, you know, told us to do research. For.
Okay.
So I somehow had that faith that, okay, if even that boy is there, so just one more person, you know, for company. And then I just prayed and waited. But then after a few more days,
maybe something will get sorted out.
Something could get sorted out, you know. So after a few days, then the registrar actually told me that they are trying their best. They're trying to make arrangements for, you know, guiding from outside or have an internal, you know, guide from the biosciences because, you know, chemistry, bioscience, it's almost the same kind of a field. So though nothing concrete had happened and the day came when Swami was going to Vrindavan and we were in Parthi. And we have not got the actual official letter. So I was worried that, okay, if Swami has to go to Vrindavan and if you have not appointed yet, then you may have to go to Vrindavan and again pray, right? I mean, the waiting period,
yes.
We travel wherever Swami goes. So this was the concern. So both of us decided, okay, we will now write a letter to Swami and ask, what do we do? Should we come or should we stay back? And it was that morning darshan that Swami went around, and we were both sitting actually near the, you know, the old boys area near the car shed. And Swami saw us, but he didn't take the letter. He continued finishing his darshan. Then from there we went to the bhajan hall and sat there with the letter. And Swami usually is very busy on the day when he leaves, you know, he'll be talking to the VIPs and blessing them and so many things which happens as a part of, and he will take aarti and then he'll leave. So we were quite, you know, worried whether it will really happen that Swami will come and talk to us. But it so happens that he came and then he looked at us and then he took the letter and he said, see, registrar to matladanu, registrar and vice chancellor actually were saying that it is difficult, but I only told them, take these two boys, give them research.
Wow.
I mean, he said, in spite of all the difficulties that may be there in an official technical way, he made sure that we start doing our work. And he said, then I will go to Bangalore. You stay here. You start your work right from today onwards. And that's how we joined. I think it was 13th of March, if I remember well, 1997, that we realized that, okay, then of course, after that, we got our letters and everything and stayed back. So that's, you know, there's a twist and a turn everywhere to make sure that, and the, so sweetly Swami said that, registrar ne bola nahi, and vice chancellor ne bola nahi, Swami bola, unko do. You know, very sweetly, you know, just to, you know, give us that a special moment of His grace. You know, it is. I'm not sure what I have done to receive that, but at the end of the day, it's just His love. There's no other explanation. His love and your love for Him, which keeps you there.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 14th of January 2016, and Team Radio Sai wishes you an auspicious Makar Sankranti. My name is Karuna, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Sai studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, India, where the local time right now is exactly 52 minutes past 10 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. You just heard part one of a Fleeting Moments interview with Sai University alumnus, Dr. B. Shivkumar, who currently works at the Sai University's Department of Chemistry as an assistant professor. He was in conversation with Radio Sai's Bishop Rushti. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please share your thoughts, comments and suggestions regarding this interview as well as any other Radio Sai programs with us through email. Our email ID remains listener@radiosai.org. And may I remind you that you can catch the next two installments of this very precious interview right here on Morning Glory over the next two Thursdays. Same place, same time. With that, it is my pleasure to inform you, dear listeners, that starting today at 7:30 p.m. IST, that is Indian Standard Time, we are planning to revive a fresh season of our very well-loved and received show, SMN on Thursday Live. Based on popular demand by listeners to continue this series, my colleagues, Brother C.G. Sai Prakash and Brother Prem Anosh, have risen to the occasion to restart SMN. Now, earlier on this show, I had posed this question to our listeners as to what SMN may stand for. So far, I have a few correct answers and which I've received by email from our listeners like last little while, and I wish to announce the two correct answers that I have received. The first one from Shankari Subhash. She sent a correct answer. And although Shankari forgot to mention where she's from, but I'm assuming somewhere in India, because a friend of hers is in the studio right now and she identified her as an alumna of the Anandpur campus. So well done, Shankari. Congratulations go out to Shankari Subhash. Also received a correct entry from Nepal from Anuradha Kafle. Congratulations to Anuradha Kafle of Nepal. Both the ladies are right and your answers are accurate. Indeed, we are resuming our series Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. That's what SMN stands for from tonight 7:30. So please, don't forget to join Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, C.G. Sai Prakash and Prem Anush at 7:30 p.m. Indian Standard Time on Thursday Live. That is on this very stream known as Asia Stream, and enjoy the first episode of Season 2 of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam on Radio Sai Global Harmony. Thank you, dear listeners, for your company, and I wish you a Saisam awesome day ahead. Till we meet next Thursday, Jai Sai Ram, and please be well.